Welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host Mike, along with Chuck here. What's going on, man?
Ahoy, Paloy. How are
Alex
you?
Palou. Oh, sorry, that's Indy. That was at Ohio. Never mind. Not much, man. Just catching up from the long weekend. We had the July 4th celebration. I spent time with family. Went down to my parents' place. We had aunt and some cousins in town. Neighbors invited us over to do a little skiing on their lake. So got
Oh,
the boat a
nice.
little bit. I didn't do any skiing myself, but it was fun to watch the young kids try to do it, like 9 and no, like 12 and 16. I don't remember how old they are. Sorry, cuz. But it was pretty fun to see them like get up on the wakeboard and actually like get it going. So
Yeah.
good weekend for me. Sounds like you had a busy one just talking offline.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even mention fishing and golfing, but yeah, I finished the book Hail Mary by Andy
Nice.
Weir, which go watch the trailer for the movie with Ryan Gosling coming out next March.
Yeah.
Book was great. Can't wait for the movie. Went to the movies. Saw, but before I say what I saw, trailer, first trailer for Odyssey, the Odyssey. It's like Jon Bernthal just talking to somebody else, like
Oh, hold the
fucking
presses. We
awesome.
gotta, yeah, I'm gonna be watching that. Dang.
Yeah, and seeing it in like the big screen theater, the it's probably like the one part that they filmed so far,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's coming out. It's, I think it's Oppenheimer Day is like July 17, 2026. I think it's kind of around the same time. Oh
I was just
no,
read that
Oppenheimer came
Cosmo
out.
Jarvis dropped out of the Odyssey.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's
Okay.
been replaced by somebody else. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so that looks pretty like that's gonna be epic. And then I saw Jurassic Park, Jurassic World Rebirth. Yeah, Rebirth.
T-Rex needs glasses. I don't know what they're up to, the 9, 13.
No,
I don't, yeah.
it's the seventh installment, and I think I rank each of them in the order they came out as how good they are. And the seventh one was probably the worst, the stupidest one yet. It was good to sit in the theater. I sat in one of those D-box seats where it, like, vibrates, and so that was cool. But I mean, that was awful. Like, I was telling Blanca because she went and saw Elio at the same time, and I saw the Jurassic World. I'm like, I think there was just parts where they didn't have any dialogue, so there's just uncomfortable silence between characters, or they would try to say dialogue and it would make no sense or be stupid. And like the titular dinosaur was this D-Rex that like showed up for like 30 seconds in the entire film and didn't really do anything. But yeah, it was really bad.
Yikes.
Besides ScarJo, and there was
I don't even
some
know the
cop.
main male actor. I don't even know that guy.
No, and he wasn't very good. The best part was like the this family that gets like ends up on the island with like a little girl and like a teenage daughter and a her boyfriend, and the dad, like the teenage boyfriend, was like the comic relief, and that was like the only part that was like entertaining.
Yes.
But I mean, I think the more you and I like talk about TV and movies and watch it in a different way, you know, maybe it's just a little like more critical, but it's apparently getting bad. Really bad reviews, but I mean,
Gotta
if
get
you
the
just
kids
watch
to
it
the
for,
movies. They're the money makers.
and every theater was packed.
Of course.
I mean, like I bought one seat, like the one seat left in the big ass theater, and there was like 10 screens of it at Cinemark, NASA. So I mean, just think about it everywhere else. People are going to the movies, so people are spending money. And it was July 4th weekend on Saturday night, so I mean
Act.
it
Yeah.
was and then Sunday went to the Outlaw Music Festival, saw Avett Brothers, Bob Dylan, and Willie Nelson.
Bob Dylan was there?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, so
That's a good time.
interesting. It was like two bucket lists. I mean, I didn't grow up listening to country or Willie Nelson that much, but like a few songs that, I mean, you're very recognizable, even if you don't know country. But that was once in a lifetime. He's like 91 and he was just killing it. And Bob Dylan was like sitting behind, I think he had his back to the stage and like sitting behind something, so you couldn't even see him like on the screen or there at the Cynthia Woods. And so I watched the movie The Complete Unknown this morning on the plane, because at the concert last night I was like, he didn't sing one song that like I knew, you know, like out of the 13 songs that he sang, nothing.
No,
And
top of the billboards.
So in the movie, A Complete Unknown, there's a part in there where like they're asking, you know, the crowd's asking him to sing like one of his like well-known songs, and he's like basically like fuck you, like, you know, I mean, he has like 60 albums and all the, you know, so like he was doing like, you know, he likes, I guess, experiment and work in the time he's in. So he still sounded great. His voice was fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
Harmonica was good. It's just I didn't know any songs, but in kind of the audience was, it was very interesting because we've seen the Avett Brothers multiple times by ourselves. That's one of Blanca's favorite bands. And it's definitely different as part of a festival where like them and Bob Dylan were like the second, third billing. Because it was a lot more quieter, and especially Bob Dylan, like, because nobody knew. I mean, the people that were just there for Willie or whatever, nobody knew any of the songs, so it was just like super quiet. And then it was like polite claps after each song.
Like, oh yeah, it's good.
And even after Avett Brothers, and they were like, they're very lively and jumping around, and like, and everybody was like, but yeah, it was good. And then we saw Robert Earl Keane the week before, like I told you, and he was sitting down. We're seeing all these old people like sitting down on stage, but
You got to cash them in, man. There's not much longer. Ozzy just had his last concert. Like, I think it was this last weekend, or the weekend before that. I don't remember. These guys are getting up there. It's the time to see them, or it's past time.
But Complete Unknown, good movie as well. Saw that on
That's
the
on the
plane this
list. I've been
morning.
wanting to watch it. Yeah.
So yeah, busy, busy time.
Yeah.
So
Long busy weekend. It's been good. I had today off as well as Friday, so getting caught up on stuff around the house and trying to get caught up on some TV. I blew through Squid Game to catch up for this, and I've got three episodes left of The Bear. I'm on episode 7, so that won't be in this ranking for the first half of the year, but we'll talk about it in the second half.
Yeah, and I'm on Bear episode 6, so not too far behind. And I had to stop watching it because I watched like the first one, and then I watched 2, 3, 4, 5 like back to back to back.
Picking them off.
And then I was like, I'm not absorbing this and it's not hitting with me. So I kind of stopped, because I was like kind of just second screening a lot of it. And so I was like, all right, I don't want to unfairly rank it, you know, or give it like my just passing opinion. So,
Well, you'll like the next episode. It's Tiff's wedding, Richie's ex-wife.
oh,
Getting
nice.
married
All
to
right.
Josh Hartnett, and it's a pretty good episode. It's a pretty good episode.
Good, good. All right.
We're gonna be doing our this is one of our favorite episodes, two favorite episodes that we like to do in the year, right? We have our end of the year top shows, right, where we review the whole year, and we do the half year, right? Usually in July, we look at all the top 10 shows that we've watched to start the year and where they rank among everything else, right? We watch, I think Chuck and I both have watched 25 shows, give or take. Not all the same. And we've kind of whittled it down to our top 10, and we've got two honorable mentions. But we've watched a ton of TV. I don't know where the time went. It's already July. But I had an interesting top 10 this year. A lot different than last year, I think. So.
I'll be surprised if we have any that are in the same spot.
Agreed. Totally agree.
This is going to be a very interesting. I think we've watched a good chunk of the same shows, but a good chunk of different shows. So,
Agreed. Yeah.
I know there's like probably 3 to 4 shows in my top 10 that you haven't even watched. So, this will be the most diverse. And there's some favorites that didn't even crack my top 10 that in other years and other seasons of these shows that
Yeah. Would have
would
maybe
definitely
taken
be
the
up
whole
there.
cake, but they're barely cracking the top 10. Some for me. Yeah, totally agree. I've got two honorable mentions before we get into the top 10, just to blow those out of the water to show like they're not making it in. And then you've got two yourself, right? So we can knock those out just to they were good shows. They just didn't quite crack the top 10. There was a lot of TV. And to me, my top 10 is all over the place. But for me, my top two honorable mentions, one was Bookie, which was about a bookmaker in LA. It was a Chuck Lorre show. It was really funny. They only did two seasons. This was the final season. And they've moved on to something else. And then the other was the last season of Silo.
Nice. I mean, that's Silo didn't crack my top 10 as well. I have it at number 15.
Yeah.
I wasn't even it wasn't even going to make my honorable mention, but I think like I read all three books, and the after reading the books it kind of just dampened like my thoughts about the
Yeah.
TV show.
Yeah.
But
The books are so good. Yeah.
did you end up finishing the books?
No, I still got the third one to knock out, which it was good so far that I was reading, but I think we're more anticipating the next season of Silo because it falls in more into line with the second book shift, and a little bit of the past. So I think we're holding out for that one. Yeah.
And I liked the second and third books the best, which I mean the first book was really good too, which was like the first and part of and like most of the second season. So my two honorable mentions, and you may have these in before I give my two honorable mentions, there's three shows that didn't make my top 10 that in any of the year may have made it so far. White Lotus,
Wow.
The Last of Us season 2, and Landman. So those three were not in my top 10,
Interesting.
which is wild. I mean, not really The Last of Us because it w wasn't well reviewed, and I don't know. It was hard. I mean, the end of the year, and I re maybe rethink some things that may change, but
Maybe.
those are a little surprising out of the top. And well, I love Landman, so don't get me wrong, it's a fucking great show. It
Yeah.
just compared on a different level to the shows in my top 10.
Well, I
But
can't
my
disagree with you
two,
about The Last of Us. I can't disagree with you there. That didn't even drag my top 20. Just saying.
my honorable mentions, which is another. These are two shockers in any other year for me that aren't in the top 10. But Righteous Gemstones, which
Oh.
I was teetering on between 10 and 11, and then Your Friends and Neighbors. So I really love Jon Hamm, and I really thought, and I've went back and watched the first couple episodes the other day, and I was like, this is a really smart show. I mean, it had a lot of problems, I think, and it's going to be interesting to see season two, but it was hard not to get Gemstones at least in there because that, again, like as you in my top 10, there's one comedy and it's really not even a comedy. I mean, there's funny stuff in it, but it's more cringe comedy. But yeah, so Righteous Gemstones, great show. Everybody I've turned on to it loves it, and it was a really great concluding season. But I'm sure it, hopefully it's in your top 10 so we can talk about it.
Oh yeah.
All right, so now we got
Yeah.
top 10.
Yeah, so for those who may not know, right, we do a top up, right? So we'll start with 10, and then we'll work our way to number one, and then whoever's got the TV show that's ranked the highest, that's when we'll talk about it, right? So if I've got something at 10 and Chuck has it at one, we're going to be talking about it at number one. So start us off at number 10. Do you want to give us yours?
Yeah, so my number 10 is Severance
Oh,
season
all right.
two. Do you have that higher?
I do, but
All
not
right.
much higher.
All right. So we'll pass on that for now. What was your number 10?
Squid Game.
All right, I have that higher as
All right.
well. So all right, what's your number 9?
My number nine is Severance.
All right, so let's talk about Severance.
Yeah, really hyped up, excited to watch season two of Severance. Had its awkward moments where we had back-to-back bottle episodes, Miss Copel and then Miss Casey getting their own episodes. A little bit all over the map this year. Love the outdoor retreat stuff, really weird, and Irving catching on that Helly is an Egan. But it just wasn't as banger a season as normally is. I think the best part of the show was when Mark finally got down to the testing floor and then accidentally shot what's his name in the neck with the bolt gun.
That was, I agree. I think the first two episodes were neat because it was any Audi perspective. And then the Ortbo episode was great. And then the finale. And then I think everything in between, it was just seemed like it was almost drawn out too much. I mean, it's good to get backstory and you have the runway and you have really great people involved in the show. So it's still a great show. It
Still a great
just.
show. Could be setting up long-term gains, right? Next season could really see a lot of stuff come to fruition. But this season, maybe it may have been the setup. Still a great show. Yeah.
I think sometimes when the first season is so kind of, I don't say revolutionary or groundbreaking and so different and mysterious, and then it's hard to top that. And so I think comparing them, it makes it tougher to give it maybe like a fair comparison because it was still beautifully shot, such great
And I think that's what we both agreed
scenes,
is like
but.
we were afraid of is that maybe they're going to be too full of themselves, going the full artistic and not progressing the story as much as they should have. And I think that's where they ended, right? There's still too much like mystery to some degree. We wanted a little bit more off the corn cob, but I don't think we got it. So we just got more questions than answers.
Eventually you're gonna have to pay some of it off. And so, the fear sometimes these especially like really expensive shows and like I mean it's been renewed and everything, but you could then, okay, maybe they're not going to do it after season three and then it's rushed. Where last
Right.
season everything was slow and then now it becomes rushed and the pacing's off. And so,
Yeah. No, I agree. What'd you have at number nine?
number 9, I had Black Mirror.
Oh man, I had that higher. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That was, this is the first year where I think two through nine, I could have in any order because I love them all. Like one show to me stood out, but the other ones, like it was tough. So
It's
you had it
odd.
higher. What?
It's odd that we have a TV show like that ranked in our top 10. And it's,
Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah, it's
just, yeah.
unusual. Yeah.
What did you have at number 9?
Number nine, I had Severance.
Oh, yeah.
Then so for my number eight, I had Gemstones.
All right, so talk about it.
Yeah, so you didn't have it. You had it as an honorable mention. I thought it was hilarious, right? It closed off the Gemstones arc for everything. I love Baby Billy. Anytime I get to see him on TV, I'm all about it. Him and BJ just getting shit on the whole season from his wheelchair and having a monkey, and it's the most outrageous, outlandish show out there. But it was so funny that, I mean, there were just moments that I think back, like BJ is like sitting in his wheelchair by the pool complaining about the snacks, and everybody's like, dude, it's not about you. And he's like, I'm disabled. Like, it's just so funny. It cracked the top 10 for me. It was so funny, which is rare. We don't have a lot of comedies out there these days.
No, and that was a tough one to leave off because I completely agree. And I mean, it's some of the funniest like TV that you can watch.
Danny McBride
And
knows what he's doing. I can't wait to see their next project, whatever it's going to be.
yeah, I mean, everything that he's done is perfection.
Gold.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
What'd you have for number eight?
I had Department Q, which
Didn't
you
watch
have
it.
not watched.
No.
Yes. So this fills my British crime detective drama. A little bit Slow Horses, 6 episodes. Department Q was 10. Matthew Good, it's fantastic.
Like him as an actor.
Kelly MacDonald, Boardwalk Empire is in there. And a bunch of other recognizable faces where you wouldn't know the names. A little bit of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, a little bit of Slow Horses, a little bit of like Dr. House, maybe like Hugh Laurie attitude from Matthew Good's character. But there's multiple like crimes being solved over different periods of time. And they do a good job of weaving it to with all involving like kind of the same cast. So it's not like Bodies where they're solving the same crime from like 50 years apart. But this is like, this is it's hard to explain, but it's really well done. And
Nice.
I mean that was also another Netflix one, and I binged a lot of those in a row. So I highly recommend it
Yeah,
if you
it's on
like
the list.
British crime dramas.
Low-key, British TV has some of the best like crime shows and some of the best shows recently. I think they're starting to catch up
Yeah.
again. Yeah.
All right, that was my number eight.
What'd you have for number seven?
Seven, I had American Primeval
Didn't watch
on
it.
Netflix. This was 6 episodes, and it was a very violent and fast-paced 6 episodes. The story of Brigham Young, and like this massacre basically that the Mormons committed. During this time period, like ordered like in Utah, so forget the fort's name, but it's so well done and like so tension filled. It may not be for everybody, so there's a lot of violence. There's it's called American Primeval, but it's it you and I are sucker for Mormon stories,
We
so
are. Yeah. Wait,
this one,
for Mormons plus like Wild Wild West type stuff out there, you
yeah,
sign me up all day. Yeah.
it's got the US government at the time, it's got Native American, it's got the Catholic Church, it's got Mormons, like it's just all kind of for control of this certain area. And of course it's the Indians that end up getting the short end of the stick, like in America,
As
at the
usual.
time. But so, yeah. But
Nice.
I think Marcos actually recommended it to me at the time. But it's very good.
Nice.
Worth a while. It's a good 6 hours. A good watch.
Nice. Yeah, definitely on the list to watch for the second half of the year. Coming in at my number seven, I had Andor.
I have that higher.
Okay.
So we'll circle back.
And
Put a
then
pin in it and circle back.
circle back on that one. Then my number six, right, was Tires.
I do not have that on my list.
All right.
I did not even rank it, not because I didn't like it. As I mentioned, I thought it was hilarious. It's just once I got to like the top 16, I'm like, oh, this is not even. I mean,
It's not for
I don't know.
everybody, for sure.
It's
Yeah.
so hard to rank comedies because it's
It is.
funny. Like it's funny in the vein of a 30-minute comedy. It's hilarious.
The
So.
story is ridiculous. I mean, we're talking about guys who have worked at a tire shop for God knows how long, and they don't know about fleet discounts and buying tires in bulk to sell and upcharge for other stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like Ted Lasso trying to explain total football to me, like that was invented however long ago. Already invented. But I love Shane Gillis. The guy is hilarious. His stock is still coming up. I don't think it's at the peak yet. But he's so funny. The comedy is so ridiculous and off the wall type stuff that now they have cameos. It's so great. It's so funny. Vince Vaughn, Lowell from Wings was on it. And I'm really looking forward to next season. It got picked up for a third season. It's dumb, but it's funny. And it's right in my wheelhouse for my kind of comedy. So that's why I took it at number six. It was just great. Not for everybody. So if you watch it and you don't like it, I wouldn't be surprised. But it's got some good laughs. So would you have it to number six?
At number six, I had Squid Game.
Okay, here we go.
So I went down a rabbit hole and read it after watching season three, and I did not get the hate for the show that I saw on Reddit. I must have watched a completely different show.
Yeah.
But I mean, the memes about it is the detective on the boat trying to find the island for like two seasons. Okay, there's some corny stuff, but like it
The
still
trains are on their
boils
way, just wait. Yeah.
and it still boils down to like greed and sacrifice, and there's a fucking kid that's born during it, and the ultra wealthy that are betting on her, like, let's make them the contestant. It's like, I mean, I in his in historically, you'd look at that, it's like, oh, this is so far-fetched. And now I'm like, I could see like even our politicians in the US doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like in our ultra rich, like it to me is. Maybe I like it so much because it seems so likely that this could happen.
It
And,
seems so ridiculous, yet could be implemented next week, and I could think of 100 people that would say yes to start it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, if this shit was going on in real life, like there'd be people that would be signing up to do it,
Yeah.
in a heartbeat. And I don't know. I don't want to. I won't spoil anything for those who haven't watched, but there is talk of an American version of it as well. But I
Yeah.
hope not. I hope that's not the case. But there's something at the end that would maybe indicate that.
I think they will. Yeah, they're gonna milk
They
it.
will.
They're gonna
Oh,
milk it.
yeah.
Yeah. But they better do it right. If they do it right and it's better than the OG, that'd be pretty cool. But I was just thinking, like, if they did put it on, right? Because I like the show as well. I didn't like the ending. I want certain people to live and all of that. I won't spoil it for anybody, but I liked it. I thought it was great. It was a great way to end the story. And I like the show because it's an original idea. Even if it was, I thought I read somewhere that it was based off of some weird shit back in the 80s, but it was a good, entertaining show. It came out during COVID. It caught all of our attention, and then they just wrapped it up in a nice little bow. I would not have done the split season that they did because I think they killed some of the momentum for me. But I was just thinking of who would actually like be like the ultra rich, like watching from like the skybox. And I was like, well, you'd have Elon Musk. And then
Yeah.
the only other person that came to mind was what's his name? Pharma Bro. Martin Shkreli. Yeah. The guy that bought the AIDS drug that jacked up the prices. He's a huge
Oh.
asshole.
Well, I would, I mean, I thought I was thinking Elon, Peter Thiel,
Oh, yeah.
even the guy that all the right wingers hate, the George Soros,
Oh, yeah, his hair. Yeah.
and then all these guys on the All In podcast that like that are in the minute, like David Sacks, who's the crypto czar, and this Chamath guy, like all these ultra rich that got rich off of like SPACs and like getting lucky with PayPal, like the South African, like the Elon tree.
And
Yeah, I
then
mean, all those
to
people.
be unbiased, I'll sprinkle in Donald Trump Jr. in there. How's that sound?
He'd be too coked up to even make it to the island. He'd be like the long-haired dude, you know, that that guy was way too.
Was
It's
too
some of
jacked
the.
up. Yeah.
Some of the VP stuff was a little
Yeah.
corny, but
It would have been great had it been slaughtered. I would have loved that, right? And but anyway,
yeah.
yeah. Funny show, crazy show. I don't doubt that they're gonna milk it for everything it's worth. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have been, and rightfully so. But yeah, it's I'm sure it'll spawn more kind of knockoff or different versions, as long as the American version has Korean subtitles.
I'm all for that. Yeah. I will say this is one thing that we like about foreign, TV shows or movies making it, onto our scene. Tokyo Vice, this, Shogun. We get to see a lot of actors that aren't just American or British or whatever that are really great. They're known in their country, like the guy who leads Squid Game was a pretty well-established actor in Korea. We just don't know him, right? So it's good for those guys to get that global exposure.
And Thanos is like a Korean boy band. The one of the I forget which female character is like a really famous you know, singer in Thailand or Korea or Thailand, somewhere in Asia. Even the old lady's son with glasses is like a rapper, like a singer. I mean, there's just a lot of these guys are famous, guys
Yeah.
and gals are famous in their countries, and it's like it's really nice to open that up and see
Yeah.
because and like I forgot when I started watching season three, like the first 10 minutes it was they were talking in English. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, is it not in Korean this one? And so like I had to change it back to with the English
Yeah, you
subtitles
got
in
to get out of
Korean,
the
it's
dub.
much
Yeah.
better.
Oh, yeah.
Much better. The
The
dub
American dub
fucking
is
sucked.
horrible. Yeah. But,
What do you have for number six?
that number six was Tires. So then we're on to number
Oh,
five.
yeah.
I had
What
Black
do you have
Mirror.
for five? All right.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
So Black Mirror, it's a rare show to make it in our top 10 because it is an anthology. But I thought
Yeah.
this season was incredible that every single episode was like 8, 9, or almost a 10. I
Yeah.
think we both flipped out over the one episode. I can't even remember what it was called. With the little computer AI people
Yes.
running
S
it.
I want to say Squiglets, but it's not Squiglets. It's
Yeah.
something
It's a show that has this huge cast that brings them in for different aspects, right? I mean, we saw one about with what's her name? Awkwafina
Yeah.
is like a movie producer who starts to use AI to produce old movies or bring old movies back, but it actually puts like a modern actor into an artificial intelligence
Yeah.
reality, and you could get stuck there. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hotel Reverie, that was the
Yes.
episode there. And then the one we lost our shit over is called Plaything, and
Oh.
that the Thronglets were the name of the little
Yes.
computer program. And even like the USS Callister, like the second story of the from season 5 or 6 of Black Mirror. There was not a. If you pick the weakest one, what do you think it'd be? The first one with where
Yeah,
the
I would say the first one because it to me it's two separate topics being merged into one, and I think we've talked about this before. Having somebody with brain damage having their brain repaired with nanotechnology, but it has to be done through a subscription, which each tier keeps getting like newer and newer and more money for like basic shit, and then also tied in with like making money off of doing stupid shit online, like pulling your teeth out or other crazy stuff I won't mention, but to me it was like two things merged into one. But it was the weakest, yet it was still good. It had Rashida Jones and the guy I can never remember his name who was in Black.
And but it was, you just mentioned that it was like, it was also it what makes the show so great, if anybody hasn't watched any of the season, is it's supposed to be like a terrible vision of the future, but it's shit that can happen now. And some of it does happen now.
We're like
And like,
5 years away from it, if that. Yeah.
and I love the subscription service that you mentioned the first one, because it's almost like the healthcare debate, you know, but it's like, okay, we can cure you, but then you have to get a subscription, and then, you know, it's going to go up because of inflation, or
More people are on the
we can,
network. Yeah.
and it was just, it was so telling of society. But
Like things we have on our phone, like just imagine that, but like in your like neurological makeup to where like you say ads in the middle of conversations, or there's so many people on the network, we have to slow your speed down, like your cell phone, you're gonna sleep longer. Or I mean, it's just crazy. It was the weakest episode and yet still the most mind-blowing. And then low key for me, Eulogy with Paul Giamatti. The guy could win an Oscar for every single thing he does. I am a huge Giamatti fan. But doing Eulogy where he's coming up with these like memories of an ex and all this, guy killed it. Killed it.
No, it was super. I mean, to have Paul Giamatti in there doing an episode, and they get, you know, they had Jon Hamm in one season. I mean, and plenty of guests.
Plenty of
We can
people.
go through a
Yeah.
variety of different actors, but you know, it's just it's so well done. And I think, I think there was like 1 week season where there was like 3 episodes. I think the Miley Cyrus season, and they were still good, but it was like the weakest of the seasons, in my opinion. But this one, I mean, if they can continue on, they can do this stuff forever. It's so well done.
Yeah, was that maybe that was the COVID year? It was season 5. I don't, but yeah, it like Miley Cyrus was the big draw. 3 episodes. It wasn't crazy, but after this season, I feel like they got way back on track. I can't wait to see next season.
I mean, hopefully we don't. I mean, it's usually multiple years
3 years
between
in
seasons.
between. Yeah.
All right, so that was 6 for both of us.
Oh, that was 5. I had that at
Oh,
5.
so
You
you.
had that at 9. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. Good thing you're keeping track.
Oh,
And
I got
I was
it.
telling Mike beforehand, I flew for a work trip this morning, and been up since like 3 o'clock in
Yeah.
the morning. So
No
things are,
problem.
the lines are starting to blur together a little bit.
So we got your number 5. What's your number 5?
My number 5 is The 100-Foot Wave
Oh, okay. Don't have
on
that at all.
HBO. So, third season, it's a surf documentary about big wave surfing in Nazaré, Portugal. This year, they ventured out a little bit to one of the greatest episodes of the TV you ever watched. They do this expedition, surf like a wave 150 miles offshore, off the shore of California. Like, certain, like, I think they've been trying to find the right time for like 10 years to do it. And it's just the story of the people they follow, the surfers that they follow, their families, their story. And they started like, were like filming this footage in 2014, and like through season 1, 2, and 3, I think, like most of the footage from this season's from like 22 and 23. So, and they're still filming now, but they don't know if they're going to have another season or not, or how they're going to do it going forward. But it's such like, yeah, you don't have to like surfing to watch it. It's good human story. But the only documentary that will have, don't usually have documentaries crack the top 10,
True.
but it's such a good show.
Yeah.
So I have highly recommend it. Anybody who's watched it loves it. So it's definitely I think it's been in my top 10 every year that it's been
It
out.
has. You and Marcus rave
So
about it all the time. Yeah.
yeah, it's
That's
on my
interesting.
bucket list
Yeah, you
to
guys are
go
talking
there.
about planning a
So
trip. Yeah.
yeah.
Let's see. That takes us to number four. What was your number four?
My number four was Andor.
All right. I had this lower. Why do you have it higher?
So I have it higher because I'm like a fringe Star Wars person. Like I've seen everything, but or most everything, but I don't understand or deep dive into the lore or whatever. You had to explain to me that the show leads into whatever
Rogue
Star
One.
Wars, what Rogue
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic story. Like it's this show is something so different to me
Yeah.
than every Star Wars. Like this could be like a separate universe, and I think it would still be super popular.
Yeah.
And I mean, Stellan Skarsgård and Diego Luna, and they just carry the show.
Yeah.
And I think it's just there's never they do a good job of telling this. It's a lot of episodes, like it's the most episodes of any of the shows that we have on here.
Yeah.
But it the way they I thought Disney did great with releasing them in three episodes at a time. I actually think that's like the perfect model.
Feels like it. Yeah.
Because first of the big drop of everything or week to week, like most people that are heavy TV watchers can knock out like three episodes over the course of a week of a show they like, and you can space them out and get that content and get that tent. And I think that was part of it, but it's such a good show, and they do well moving across to different planets or different, like I not getting confused where everybody's at.
There's a lot of people. Yeah.
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 And yeah, and we got like ice spiders or whatever in Gorman.
Gorman spiders. Yeah.
Yeah, the Gorman spiders.
Yeah. Love that they brought in, right? Because it all ties into Rogue One, which ties into Star Wars A New Hope. But, Diego
I
Luna,
forgot Saul Guerrero too.
Saw
I forgot
Gerrera over there
freaking Forrest
huffing his
Whitaker.
ion thruster fumes or whatever he's doing, which he eventually goes crazy over.
He's huffing on that good.
Stellan Skarsgård, I mean, all these guys are just great actors that just come into this universe and bring, their best to it. Forrest Whitaker as Saul Gerrera. But I really liked it because it showed probably as close to like a rebellion, right, as is out there. You've got, the political piece, you've got, the guerrilla faction, doing all the frontline stuff, and then you've got the spy network, and then you've got the actual frontline grunt work, right? That's doing a lot of the spy shit. And I really like how they played them all against each other for a little bit, and then, obviously goes into the movies, so they all come together. But great story. I think they had no idea what they were doing with it when they started. And I think they made one of the best pieces of Star Wars material with Andor.
Yeah,
It's
a
in the
100%.
top five easily.
Yeah. I mean, after seeing all of it and not quite understanding all of it, to me, it's the best. And it's great. It told the story, and
Yeah.
I think some of the themes of the shows we like, when we talk about Vice Principals and Righteous Gemstones and for me, The Leftovers, Three Seasons, and a lot of these shows that are our favorites, like they tell the story that they want to tell in the right pacing and in a very good way. Like when you start shows that have that are great that trail off, whenever they start to kind of add on or subtract or try to extend the story, that's where you end up getting, some failures out of there. So.
It's hard to peak and then try to keep it, but if you have a nice arc, right, and you're intentional about what you're doing, you can tell a great story. I don't know that my number four will have that. My number four, I just premise this, we're not Taylor Sheridan fans by a lot. We don't watch Yellowstone. We haven't watched Yellowstone. Chuck has watched what, 1883 and a couple of
Love
other things.
1883.
I haven't watched any of those other than Lioness with Zoe Saldana and but number four for me is Landman. Having lived and worked in West Texas for a while and being a huge Billy Bob Thornton fan from his ridiculous life that he lives, I love that he like wears like cowboy shit in this, but in real life he's wearing like beanies and he's like all sloppy and stuff. Landman tells a great story about living out west. It's ridiculous with his daughter and his ex-wife, who are both insane, and like they all live in the same like workhouse and stuff. It was a great, entertaining show. It can't be coming back. Some of it, yeah, is ridiculous, but it tells it. It's very fond for me, which is why I put it in the top five. I had it number four.
And it was hard to keep out, to be honest. And I didn't mention, I don't know if I mentioned, but that also could have been easily a top 10 because to me, that was probably the most fun show to watch every week and to talk about just as how ridiculous like some of the stuff was. But Billy Bob Thornton and like a 50-year-old Allie Lauder, like, sorry, Allie. I don't know if you're
Smoking
that
hot.
old, but you were great in Varsity Blues, and I've loved you since you're a teenager. She played the trad wife, like for like Dallas, North Texas area, better than real trad wives in that area.
To a T.
It was. I mean, it's insane. The show is insane in a good way and a little bit in a bad way. But
You okay? You sure? Okay. Sorry. She dropped something and I just heard her go, "Oh no." And I was like, "Oh fuck, Jesus."
yeah. Oh
Sorry. I'll have to cut this out. Yeah.
no.
I was like,
Oh
"Oh,
Lord.
she's like putting together a cabinet. It's got glass. I thought it fell on her."
Oh yeah.
But anyways, Landman, Allie Lauder, stereotypical Dallas housewife.
It was, but it's a fun show, and that's another like I think the other kind of theme of all the shows that out of the 20 whatever shows that I've watched, I've liked all of them. Like even The Last of Us, which a lot of hate for a lot of reasons, I still like this show. I thought it kind of got a little overkill because people were upset that Pedro Pascal was gone and the kind of writing for Bella Ramsey, who's like just getting so much hate for like stuff that's kind of out of her control. But
One, if you didn't know,
it's
Pedro Pascal was going to die in that show, play the video game. He dies in there too. Bella Ramsey, no fault to her own, and just went a different direction, I think, than other people wanted. I thought the show ended amazing, but it just didn't crack my top 10. It just wasn't there.
No, and I'm excited for season three because I think we'll get that perspective from Abby, I
Yeah.
think is her name. So, but yeah, I mean, now we're talking about a show that's not
Not even on it.
named
Yeah.
over.
See, some shows are good. They're just flawed, right? It wasn't a full season, but we liked it. It just didn't crack the top 10. But yeah, Landman, fun show. That's why I had it so high. Little nostalgic. That takes us into number three. I'm really interested to see what's on your three versus my three, because I for sure know we probably only have one out of these last three. My number three was White Lotus.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold.
Not as great as last season, granted. We all like Jessica Coolidge and her shooting her way off the gay boat, which was amazing, right? But Walton Goggins bringing it. I think some of the, I think to me, even some of the off-screen stuff where Duke got mad at that guy for wearing the Duke t-shirt while he's like thinking about killing himself. That shit is hilarious that people like actually want to like chime in. But Walton Goggins, his dad, then you got Sam Rockwell coming in and just dropping like best supporting actor Emmy nomination in 3 minutes in his first episode. And then Carrie Coon just bringing it home. She is one of the most underrated actresses out there. Carrie Coon is incredible. And because Jackie started watching The Gilded Age, which is on HBO, I think, that she's like blended in, and she like loves it. So I can't wait for next season. White Lotus is just one of those weird shows that has an underlying metaphor, but you know, we pretty much know how people are gonna respond because they're human. Like, hey, I want to go and join this like monk like compound and like not eat like normal food and sleep on a cot and all this stuff, and she's immediately like, yeah, I don't want any of this after she does it for one night. I think it's hilarious. Yeah.
No, and I mean Carrie Coon is fantastic. She's one of my favorite people. And everything you just mentioned, to me, that's another one that, I had at 13, but it very easily could be at like six or seven in my end.
Sure.
But I think like as we there were some shows that I've watched this year that really like hit home to me that like, but I mean, Walton Goggins is a Goggins Sons, and he's fucking awesome and everything.
Stock
And
has
the
never
two
been
things
higher.
he's in that I love, he's not even he make my
Didn't even
top
crack.
10.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Sorry, sorry, Walty baby.
That's
Didn't
all
mean to do
good.
that to you. But yeah, great show. I mean, it's a great, another great series, and I think it was probably the weakest of the three, but I think they're all three strong, and
Oh, yeah.
I, enjoy watching them week to week for sure.
It is HBO's new cornerstone TV show. What else is there that everybody's like, yo, HBO's got this. This is their new cornerstone. This is their Game of Thrones.
When you have white, well, you've got the other Game of Thrones stuff coming up, I
Oh,
think.
yeah. I don't think
But
that's as hugely
and,
received.
I
Yeah.
mean, HBO thinks their cornerstones are The Last of Us, the Game of Thrones show,
House of the Dragon.
the
Yep.
House of the Dragon, and probably the Gilded Age. Now, Gemstones is gone, but I would think if you asked executives at HBO, they would say probably those three
Yeah,
would be
they're the money makers. Yeah.
their flagship. But
Yeah.
and White, I mean White Lotus
This
is
coming
in
from the
there.
guys who keep changing their name, which eventually comes back to HBO, what the fuck do they know?
That's true. It's very good point.
Oh, that was my number three. What'd you have at number three?
My number three is Paradise.
Didn't finish it yet. Yeah.
Okay, so we don't talk too much about it.
That's all right. That's all right. Talk about it. It's all good.
James Marsden, Sterling K. Brown, another unique show. This was like Silo but better. Involves people going underground basically as well. To escape kind of a situation between all the countries. And it also it has like probably two of the better episodes of TV this year. Like, I think it's episode 7 and episode 5 in the show. So a lot of people, 7 was very pivotal, but it's like kind of the events of leading up. It's a very fast paced, almost, if you think, it's like if you think of the movie Independence Day, where like they're getting the president on the plane, it's taking off, is like, shit's going down, like things are blowing up, and people are trying to get out why bad things are happening. So very good show, kind of I don't know,
It's a low-key
little bit of
show.
a,
Not a lot of people
yeah,
talk
it,
about.
no, it was one of those things that wasn't even on our radar really. And then I think some of my cousins were like, "Are you watching Paradise? And it's so good." And then I'm like, I saw the trailer. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not, Sterling K. Brown's on, like, I mean, he's good, and
He's
like,
good.
I love James Marsden." I'm like, "All right, let me give this a shout." I'm like, "It's better not be like the This Is Us or something like that kind of Sterling K. Brown. Like,
He's a
give me
low-key
like."
actor that just hasn't I he's had some big roles. I just don't know why he doesn't have like, he's not a leading guy in Hollywood. He played Chris Darden in the O.J. Simpson TV show, and then he killed it. I don't know why that guy doesn't get more cred. I don't get it.
Now he's fantastic, and he's so good in the show, and like he's carries it. And I mean, it's, to me, this could have been even higher, but I think the other two shows for me just stood out over the rest. But
Interesting.
if you haven't watched Paradise, it's good on Hulu FX.
And that leaves us with the top two. What did you have for number two?
So number two, I have The Rehearsal with Nathan Fielder on HBO.
Didn't watch it.
You haven't watched that either. It's what you describe it as, like a cringe comedy, cringe
Slash
documentary
acid
comedy.
trip.
The weirdest shit you'll ever see is, so it's right up my alley. The premise of the show is that he sets up, people have like a situation, and in order to get better at it or to improve, like, you have to rehearse, and he sets up these elaborate scenarios. So like in season two, it's basically that he's a airline crash buff, and he believes that airline pilot that these crashes happen because pilots don't talk to each other in the airport before, like the communication is not good.
They're flying with each other for
And
like the first time.
yeah, and it's and it it was it's really a mix of like informative stuff, and then the absurd. Like, he builds a replica in like a Hollywood in like a production studio of Bush Airport, like in Houston, and it has George Bush's statue. I mean, like Panda Express, it has everything right where it is. Like, I go through this airport like at least once a month, and like
Oh, hey,
now
that's
that I
cool.
see it, like this morning I was going to take a picture of George Bush and like send it to Nate, like
You
Nathan
should have,
Fielder, because I walked right past it. And but it's just like, it's just pure genius. And like, he's like meta commentary to the show, and it's like he kind of pokes fun at like HBO gives him money, and because he can stay in a budget, like some imaginary budget that he doesn't know what it is. Like, I mean, he just like, but like, I don't want to, I'm not going to give away, but like, my favorite episode of TV in a long time, and possibly ever, is he basically turns himself into Sully Sullenberger to reenact how he landed the airplane on the Hudson, and it evolves into one of the wildest theories and of what he's listening to during the miracle on the Hudson or whatever. And that's not even like the wildest part of the season.
Oh
So
no, yeah. I've seen
there's
clips.
like
It's
a fake
way out
singing competition called Wings Over Boys. Like,
Yeah.
it's, I mean,
I saw somebody with
I've
a
been,
tattoo that has his face, and it's like the
yeah.
Miracle over the Mojave. Like,
No, there
it's
is,
catching on.
oh, it is, it's a, like a Redditor's dream, the show. I can't get any of my normie friends to watch it, but it is. I can see how it's a hard watch for some people because it's like, it's basically an, you know, and this is also another theme, like he questions if he's autistic, like at some point.
I could see that.
But it's like, it works well for me because that's how my brain works. I'm not autistic, I'm not anything, but I get like, you know, an itch happens and I can't stop thinking about it until I like go deep into it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's his style. And there's just so much creep, like he's watching these. There's one scene, like they're following one of the pilots around, and they're trying to loosen him up by like having him go on dates. And so they're asking these background actors that are like playing and like, does anybody interested in him? So these three girls are like kind of interested. And so then they start rehearsing like what he would do on the dates. And then they hire actors. They built like six models of his apartment, and they have six different couples like going through scenarios, and he's watching. And Nathan Fielder's standing there too, with just like straps with a laptop up here, like taking notes. Like he's just watching like them making out or like talking, or like it's the cringiest shit you'll ever see. It is hilarious. Like
Jesus.
it's so hard to explain, but it's so weird, and I'm all in for it.
Yeah,
So
you went in hook, line, and sinker on that one. Yeah.
yeah, and I don't know if, I mean, I used to watch Nathan For You. He had on Comedy Central, like I think 4 or 5 seasons, and it was very kind of, you know, he would do 30-minute episodes, and like one he had like got a bunch of taxi companies together, taxi drivers to a meeting to where they all signed up for Uber and were like driving Uber to try to get shitty ratings to get people to go back to taxis in this town. And by the end of it, they all stuck by, they all like,
I'll
all of
stay
them
with
just
Uber.
stayed with Uber because they were making more money. Like, and like, but it was just the whole premise because one taxi driver was talking about how it was hurting his business because of Uber. And so he's like, why don't we try to sabotage Uber? And
Jesus.
then they all like ended up like, it's just the way his brain works. And then so I, Nathan Fielder, Nathan For You, and then the rehearsal. So many
Yeah.
funny stuff. So
Yeah, I'll have to watch.
what was your number two?
So my number two, I know you definitely didn't watch. It was The Pitt. So I don't
Yeah.
normally do medical shows and stuff like that, but this show had so much like tension. You could cut it with a freaking ruler. It was
Yeah.
high tension. There's like a scene where they're like, it's just like 15 episodes. Each episode is an hour, and it's like one shift in an ER in Pittsburgh. And they're like training new students and stuff. And then like by the second half of the show, they're dealing with like a mass shooting event. And all these people are coming in. And you're just like, yeah, I think I would have quit like 3 hours ago. Like, there's no way
Yeah.
I'm cut out for that job. Noah Wyle's in it. He was in ER back in the day. It's back to his bread and butter where he's like a doctor on the show. Great suspense, great tension. I freaking love it. It's pretty, they've gotten amazing with how graphic like they can do injuries and
Yeah.
stuff these days for television, like broken leg and all of that kind of stuff. Pretty nasty. But I really enjoyed it. I found myself like being like, yeah, I gotta watch one more. I gotta know what's gonna happen. Like it was a great one. Really, really good job by Noah Wyle. So that was for me. I'm really interested to see what you have for number one if we have it the same.
I think I'm thinking we do since we've gotten to this
We
point,
haven't
but
mentioned it yet.
with the pit. Is it in the ER universe, or is it just in that same vein? Like, it's not
Same
Doctor
vein,
whatever from ER, is it?
not,
Like,
yeah, different universe,
okay.
same vein. He's like the head doctor of the ER. He's got underlings, and then they're like the student learning ER for first year doctors or whatever.
Yeah.
They can't be called doctor yet, but so they're all like 12, it looks like, right? Now that I'm getting closer to 40, everybody below me looks like they're 12 years old, but
Yeah.
just how they're all like dealing with it. And, like, one of them's mom is like the head of like neuro, like, surgery or something like that. And then somebody like doesn't even have a place to live. Just super interesting, like, all these different characters and how they all have to like try to make it through a shift after seeing like so many people get shot and killed. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and ER, I mean, it's good because we don't. I think ER was such a great show at the time, and it launched like a lot of careers, or it elevated a lot of careers.
Yeah.
And then you kind of went into that Grey's Anatomy phase after ER, and I like how the Pitt kind of brings back. I mean, I haven't seen it, but just from what I hear, it kind of
It's
brings back what was successful, like with ER, but at like a whole, this is the HBO level or
Yeah.
Max or whatever
And
show they're calling it, but.
it's HBO level, right? So it's full on graphic, it's full on language. Like, it's not Grey's Anatomy where everything's a love story and
Yeah.
somebody's gonna sleep with so and
That
so.
one girl from the proactive commercials isn't like playing doctor in this.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, it's I can't imagine it's gonna go for 20 seasons like ER or Grey's
Yeah.
Anatomy. I don't know who the hell's, no offense to anybody else, who else is still watching Grey's Anatomy. I know. The Pitt was just raw, gritty, and realistic. I'll use the word realistic. Great show. Great show. Yeah.
Nice.
That leads us to
Cool.
number
Well,
one.
yeah, so I'm pretty sure we have the same number one. We haven't had the same number
Or anything.
of anything at all. We've had multiple ones that were in your top 10 that weren't in mine, and vice versa. So number one is
Adolescence.
this is about as no doubter as you can get. This
Yeah.
is a slam dunk. I don't. If you've seen this show, this is your. It may not be your favorite, but it's the best show of the year.
It
Like,
is.
do I want to watch it again?
No, I do
No.
not.
No. I would never watch it again. I don't want to be that sad
No.
for society
I don't
and
think we've
children
ever included
and parents.
rewatchability in our rankings ever.
No.
So, for me,
No.
I totally agree. Loved it.
Yeah.
Best show of the year. On point for topics, sure. Acting, incredible. Rewatchability, zero. Is so depressing
Okay.
and so dark. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, it takes like such an unimaginable event that happens in society.
Every day.
Like, this is every day. This isn't, and deals with like topics that get brushed off around, like, I'm trying to tend away from using like maybe what people consider would like woke words, but like toxic masculinity, or
Sure.
like kind of the elevation of like someone like the Tate brothers or somebody that, like kind of like the background that leads the kid to do what happens, and kind of like that online presence, not even like it can just kind of like, there's a very poignant discussion, I think it was in the last episode, and they're talking, the parents are talking, and it's like, he was always in his room, and like, he was on the computer. He was such a good kid. It's like there's so much access on the internet to things, and it's like you're almost like, as a parent, lose control of what your kids are being taught,
Yeah.
because the information at their grasp is like,
What they're absorbing at the speed of information, I mean, is basically the digital age, right? Because they can get it on their phone, on their tablets, on their watches, in school and, in the car and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's everywhere. And not like, you're a little older than I am, but like, I remember when we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have Twitter and all that stuff. And you so maybe sound old, like Stephen Graham in the show. Like, I went outside. Like, I didn't just stay in my room all day. And I think one of the most poignant parts of the show was, he didn't Stephen Graham was talking about how his dad used to beat him, and he said he never wanted to be like a father like that, and yet he produced his son who was able to commit this. It's so crazy how I just dangerous it is today for kids. I don't know, for lack of a better word, but
No, it is. I mean, and I mean, you point that out, and as someone like, who has two kids that are adults now, it's definitely a different style of parenting that you grew up with, me 10 years older, grew up with. And there's, I don't know if there's existentially more threats, but there's more access to information that maybe puts fear in there, that there's more threats. So there's a lot more kind of over-parenting in, but it's very like, it hit me because being a parent and just like, you could, I mean, that could happen to anybody, good kids. And then, it's like they have a daughter too, and it's like she's perfect. And it's like they're like, they can't process the situation. It's like, what did they do wrong? And then you have one kid who commits this crime, and then the other kid who's like a model citizen. And it's like,
Normal
is
within the
it?
terms of societal norms, right? Like, not out there. I mean, but then you have the other one who like is an incel, right? I mean, it's the term that
Incel, that, yeah, I was still looking for
they've
earlier.
made mainstream, right? It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think that that's out there. I think it talks about a huge problem that I have always observed, in especially generations younger than myself, is the lack of problem resolution skills, right? He got rejected, and his like answer to that was, "I'll just kill her." Like, how do we go from like A to Z? It just blows my mind. Like, dude, how many times did you get rejected by a girl? I'm not gonna make you say a number because that'd be hilarious, but
Oh,
I get
every
rejected
day.
all the time.
No, it's, and that's the thing. I mean, and I think that's kind of like the growth of like the online culture, or like whatever it is not being taught these problem resolution skills. I mean, there was fights back in the day. I mean, there was
Oh,
different ways to
sure.
resolve issues. But like, I mean, like I think, you've heard my, you know what I post on Instagram, and you've heard my Twitter stories when I was on Twitter. I mean, I, went through a period where I was just like, there's so access, you can just shit post people, you can talk shit there, anybody, you hide behind a keyboard, and then you don't know how to process when a real kind of rejection or situation happens. Like, and it's like our age, when you were IRL as a kid,
As they would say.
and as a kid today would say, you had to deal with rejection. You had to, you would ask a girl to be your girlfriend or go out in junior high and high school, and you get rejected, and it wouldn't be rejected online or someone didn't swipe on you. It'd be rejected in the hallway in front of like
Your
15
face.
people laughing at your ass,
In the
and
moment.
but that's, but for me it was always easy because I have no shame.
That's true.
So like, I never felt shame by getting rejected or being like, just any kind of rejection. So
Hit
like,
on. Yeah.
And if anything, a lot of times the rejection, like whether it's not making a soccer team or a sports team or getting
Not
rejected
getting a
by a girlfriend,
job or yeah.
it just fueled me. Like it just helped. Like that was like, all right, now I know what's wrong. Like I know that's, but you and I both come, like logistics background, and like it's, maybe it's our personality of problem solving that it's like, all right, like how there was a problem, it didn't go the way I did. How do I fix it, or how do I do better the next time?
Got it. Next time I ask her out or ask a girl out, I won't do a magic trick before asking her out. And got it. That was the problem. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No, or it could be like as I one of the favorite things, and one of the favorite things I follow on Reddit is like it's like our Tinder, and people post all these like it's a lot of girls posting like stuff guys do, and it's like it'll be like, and this has never happened in our day, but it was like, it's like, hey, how's it going? It's like, good, how are you? And then the guy's like, I'd be better if you came over and blah blah blah. And it's like, wait, what? Like,
Just leading off with that, like
because there's no fear, because then they can, it's all online, and it's all just like, but there's no, they don't, it's almost like you don't have to solve the problem anymore, because you just can just spam shit online, and
it's the numbers. You just play in the numbers. It's insane. Yeah. Whereas like, yeah, there was only like 10 girls that you might have wanted to ask out in high school, depending on how big your high school was. And you, if you screwed up with the first one, odds are the other nine are going to hear about it. You know, like
exactly.
you can't just be like, hey, what's up? And then boom, dick pic. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, not. Yeah, nowadays that's what happens, but not back in the day. You had to work. You had to work for everything.
Just walking around with a fistful of Polaroids. It didn't work out that way. But just so crazy how like this show started a conversation about something right now. I mean, the conversation has been out there, but I don't think they've been able to talk about it in a mainstream sense. I mean, we have people that go online, Reddit or whatever, right? All these conspiracy theorists and stuff who all get, they get into this echo chamber where they are just all talking about the same shit. And it made it reminded me of like he went to the paint store to buy paint. Stephen Graham's character did, and that kid was like, "Yo, like I believe you. Like it was a conspiracy. Like they framed him." And it's just like, "Yo, you need to get off the internet, bro. Like take a step back from me and have a breath with me." Yeah,
I mean,
that's a
that's
real
the,
thing. Echo chamber internet stuff is like people just watch the same news network all the time. It's the same shit.
And it comes from every direction,
Yeah.
too. So it's not
Does.
just one or the other.
No.
Like all the spectrums of people, single sourcing their information, and then it becomes like, oh yeah, maybe it was a, somebody controlling the weather that caused this great flood, instead of like, how can we help the children?
It's
How
a
can we
St. Louis
prevent
arch,
this
I
from
know.
happening?
It controls the weather.
No, it's the blue horse at the Denver airport, and the cabal that lives under
What's
there.
the new one? Oh no. Oh
No,
my
you haven't
God.
heard that before? I
No.
heard that like 10 years ago, the first
Oh
time I
my
flew to
God.
Denver. Someone's
I mean, I
like,
heard that there's the military base under there where the Illuminati like run everything from, but
yeah, no, that, yeah, that, yeah, that's
basically the same thing. Yeah.
cabal, Illuminati. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's a,
Yeah.
yeah,
Pizza
that's for sure.
kitchen. Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah. I think Stephen Graham deserves an Emmy for Adolescence.
Yeah,
Whether
no,
he'll
it's,
get one or not, I don't know, but the guy crushed it.
he's amazing. And I think the first time I saw him, or that I recognized that to me he was Stephen Graham, was in Boardwalk Empire. He played Al Capone, and just like how in Boardwalk Empire, how he communicated with the son who was like deaf, and how he just as an actor was like freaking awesome. Like he is great. So
So talented.
just need a reminder to try to watch stuff that he's in.
Oh, yeah, he's in so much stuff that you'll real like we already talked about it. He was in Bodies, and he was in the movie with Brad Pitt a long time ago, and all these other stuff that he's low key in. And then not to mention, because every time I would watch an episode and then tell Jackie about it, I would always say, "Did you know that they shoot every episode in a single day?" And she got really tired of me like harping on it, and it's an amazing TV show.
Oh yeah. No, it's if you haven't seen it, if you're listening to this, watch it, but be prepared. It is the saddest shit, but it is. I honestly think they need to show this in schools. Like,
Totally
I
agree.
mean, this needs to be like, or parents need to show it in homes, and like, it's it's rough, but it's amazing.
It's rough. It's amazing. It's right. It's meant for the moment. So yeah, definitely. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's not a rewatchable, unless you're going to rewatch it with your kids, because it's a good episode. And kudos to the kid that played the main character, the kid, I don't know his name. They found him at some local acting theater. He's got a huge career ahead of him if he sticks with it. So, that rounds out our top 10. We had a lot of different stuff, but not surprised. Adolescence came in at number one, people. That was a banger show. A lot of great shows this year, a lot of different shows, some comedies making the tops, some anthologies, some documentaries making the tops. But that just goes to show you how great TV is, and how there's a lot of content out there, a lot of tent, that you can catch up on. And we're only halfway through the year. We're only halfway through the year, and we've watched like 25 TV shows.
And we didn't include The Bear because neither of us finished it,
Not done yet.
and then Stick, which is also going on, which has had ups and downs. I definitely wouldn't have cracked my top 10, but
No.
it's in,
Martin Marin would
but
have.
it, but yeah, it's there's other stuff in store for the rest of the year. So we got Stranger Things, I think, at some point. Do we have House of the Dragon?
Maybe that would be early next year. There's another show out there called Smoke with Taron Egerton, where he plays like a fire detective, fire investigator. And they're trying to find like these two arsonists. That I'm it's like halfway through the show. It's a great show. It may crack the top 10 for the end of the year. We'll see.
Are you so you're halfway through that?
Yeah, I think they're on episode 4. Yeah, out of like 10 or 12.
I watched the trailer and I'm like, they're the arsonists, aren't they? That's like, but I
Even
don't
if
know.
they
I was
are,
like,
it's gonna make you change your perspective about what you think the show is.
Okay.
Because even if they
How
get
many
that to you
episodes you
early in the
watched?
show, you're like, "Oh shit, it's not what I think it's going to be." It's not a Pink Panther. It's not a cat and mouse game. It is, but it isn't. So it's worth a watch. It's worth a watch.
Got it.
But yeah, anything else for the first half of the year? We'll be catching up next week. We'll be talking Stick. What's going on with that? We're a little bit in the rough on that one. Haven't hit the green consistently. We'll be talking
And then the bear,
the
you got to do
bear.
that.
I'll bring some info about smoking, and then Foundation starts soon. That's season 3, and then we're like 2 weeks away from Happy Gilmore 2. So there's a lot of stuff out there coming, and there's plenty of stuff in the second half of the year that we're going to catch up on, like Slow Horses and Alien Earth and Stranger Things, like you mentioned earlier. There's a ton of stuff. So.
And I haven't started watching Resident Alien, which is one of my favorite shows too. So
Yeah,
it's
that's
final
consistently been
season, I
in your
think,
top 10.
possibly. There'll be some new contenders, but it's gonna be very tough to kind of break through, I think. This our top 10.
It will take a grand slam to knock Adolescence off the podium, in my opinion. It will take a miracle, but Yeah, appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week. Tune in next week. As we said, we'll talk about the shows we got going on, and then check out the podcast platform, the YouTube, where for those that want to watch our lovely faces can watch us while we joke around, and then check out the Instagram. So appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week, as Cousin likes to say.
Peace.